and I just felt it in my soul. I knew this was it. I knew this was my shot.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave.
All right, we're here today on Leadership Now with our special guest, Darren Farrell from Texas. And as many of you know, Darren's one of the legendary leaders in our company, one of the guys that helped start our company back in the very beginning and has really led it all the way through in all areas. And of course, we're here in Sydney, Australia on the Odyssey trip. So we're on the trip of a lifetime, and we get a chance to sometimes take a minute to sit with you guys and talk a lot about how we got here and how things started, and it's always fun to reflect that way. But our team's been looking forward to hearing you from a long time. So anyway, Darren, let's talk about how you got started. You know, I know most of you probably know Darren's background, but Darren was an Elvis impersonator, and he was, you know, out there singing Elvis.
What a way to make a living, huh?
Yeah, right. And so how do you go from being an Elvis impersonator to being a leader in financial services with offices all over the United States and people being big, multiple six-figure earners and approaching seven figures? You're now a seven-figure earner. How do you go from being an Elvis impersonator to a seven-figure earner? Just talk about how that got started.
Yeah, Tom, it is amazing to me as I think about that, reflect on it myself. It is, it's a proof to the system that we have. There is no secret to success, but there is a system to success, and I'm a product of that system and taking advantage of it. And the leadership, the products, the services, you combine all that with a work ethic and a willingness to raise your skill and knowledge levels up. I'm just a product of that. I was a sponge. I wanted to do well. I heard all my life, if you want to be successful, find a successful person and emulate that person. Unfortunately, I'm from Texas, as you said. You know, the rich people in Texas have oil wells.
Right.
Well, we didn't have any oil wells on our land. And so I needed to find somebody like yourself that was successful, and you've got something I can duplicate.
Right.
And so I've just been a great copy machine, Tom.
Well, did you ever see yourself doing something like this? I mean, when you're out there and you're singing Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, how do you go from that to really becoming an advisor, being fully licensed and getting, you know, becoming a leader in the financial service industry?
You know, Tom, it really is, as I think back, the development and all that's happened in that period of time. As I said, I was just a sponge. I wanted to win. I wanted to be able to travel like we are right here in Sydney, Australia. Of course, we just came from Fiji, and I knew that in order for me to go where I wanted to go, I had to change, and that comfort zone that I was in wasn't going to get me where I wanted to be. So I had to get uncomfortable being uncomfortable, or I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Just really pursuing my dreams and doing whatever I had to do.
Well, here we are, part of a company with 75,000 people, and you're in the top 100. You're in the top half of the top 100. Mm. And you know, how did you get there? I mean, how did you know this was going to turn out for you?
I want to be honest. I just wanted to make $300. I mean, I was riding a motorcycle. I was 24 years old. And for everybody that's out there with fears and wondering if they could do this business, I want y'all to know I felt the same way. I didn't think someone like me, I wasn't good in school. I got to be honest with you, too. I didn't even pass algebra the first time. I had to take it two times.
There you go.
And so I'm an example that you don't have to be really good in math. So I just wanted to win. And this was my one shot. And to think now the kind of money that we're blessed to make, I got to wonder too, but I got to be really, as I said, honest, $300 a month was as big as I could think. I wanted to get four-wheel transportation. I was riding a motorcycle. I figured with $300 a month, I could get a car. But the way our system is, the fact that you can stick your toe in the water, test the water, see how it goes. I found out I loved it. I love talking to people. And all of a sudden, I was making way more than $300 a month. I was all of a sudden making comma checks. And it just progressed from there.
You know, I think just about everybody sat through algebra class and thought, what in the world
I sure did.
Am I ever going to need this for? And, you know, and then you start doing whatever you end up doing. And in your case, you know, you're impersonating Elvis, one of the legendary performers and entertainers of all time. And you're very good at it, by the way. But there's a limit to what that could ever make. You know, yeah. you can't be in two cities at one time. You can't do that 24 hours a day. You can't do it all over the world. But all of a sudden, you find yourself in a business where you're an entrepreneur now of a different kind. You know, and you've got the power of leverage where you've got this team, and you get a little override off of lots of people, puts you in a position where you have an unlimited opportunity that was before, no matter how good an Elvis impersonator you become, there's only one song at a time you can sing.
Yeah.
But now you've got people, there's people, somebody on your team sitting somewhere right now doing business with a client that'll earn you an override while we're sitting here having this conversation.
It's amazing. You know, we've got phone calls and texts. Here we are on the other side of the world, Tom, and we've got people out there doing business, and we're making money, and the fact that we can duplicate ourselves, there's no way I could go out there, as you said, whatever I did, whether it was Elvis impersonation, waiting tables like I used to, sandblasting, roofing. I've done some crazy jobs, but I was just trading my time, my hours for money. And here I'm able to multiply myself just as you've been able to. And it's not addition, it is multiplication.
What do you think your number one strength is as an entrepreneur?
You know, my number one strength is selling the dream. I think if we can be good at selling the dream, because so many people have stopped dreaming. Mm-hmm. And here we are, well, we're not in America right now or North America, but we are the land of opportunity. And most people stop dreaming. And so I think that's our job. My main job is to get people to understand that, yeah, you can make dreams. Dreams aren't just for sleeping, that you can live your dreams. And that's what this vehicle has allowed Debbie and I to do, to live our dreams. And too many people, they stay in their mind and they experience their dreams only in their sleep.
Well, you know, I think that every entrepreneur that ever starts a business of any kind has this wild dream in their mind that someday, if all the stars would ever get in alignment, my wildest dream come true would be for me to make $1 million in a year. And I think of someone like you doing that, and what an inspiration that has to be to everybody who comes in contact with you, to think that you could not be good at algebra, not want to wait tables, not want to just be an Elvis impersonator, but you want to be somebody, you want to be successful, you want to be a leader on a championship team. And you find a vehicle as big as your dreams, and then you recognize that moment and you do something about it. Talk about that.
You know, we really are. I think we are the ultimate before and after company. You look at our background, so many of us, and today they see the finished product. But yeah, we started from rags to riches, and the only thing I knew about money was that I didn't have any.
Right.
And yet someone like myself, because of the system, we were able to do it. But how that happened, how it progressed, is selling that dream, as I said, and getting people to buy into that dream and buy into that vision. So many people, they don't have a vision. You know, they live paycheck to paycheck. And I knew that I was going to set a goal. But just as importantly, a lot of people are good at setting goals and saying they're going to do something. And I knew that it was going to take a lot of work. I knew that anytime there was a meeting going on, I was going to be at that meeting, and I didn't look for excuses not to go. I just eliminated all excuses. I just want everyone to know, yeah, everyone would love to make the kind of money we're making, but are they really going to fall in love with the process? Are they going to fall in love with what it takes, the work ethic and the development, the relationships, all the things that we've got to be good at? And I just made that commitment. I was going to work as hard as I had to, because I knew what hard work was and being poorly paid. And I knew here that if I truly worked hard, that the money was going to be there. And I love that part of it.
Well, if you could go back, what would you have told yourself in those early years to make it go even faster and be even smoother?
Wow, that's a good one, because, Tom, I did work really hard with the previous company. And I worked for 10 years, and I got to the equivalent of our SMD level. And I thought, gee, okay, I'm there. Now the money's going to come in. It didn't. And then I was told, well, I had to become an executive with that company. And I worked hard. And I became an executive with that company. And again, the money wasn't there. And putting in 10 years hard work, never made more than $40,000. So I did have that opportunity. It's rare that you get a second chance.
Right.
And I looked at that 10-year period, Tom, and I realized that if I was going to max this thing out with a second chance, that I was gonna go find some like-minded people like me. And I realized that I couldn't, you know, want it bad enough for my people, that I was going to find some people that wanted it bad like I did. So I had that opportunity. And this time, when we started this company in 1992, I said, I am going to flat be an example that there's money to be made here, which I did. And then I was going to find some people that were going to be excited about making that kind of money. And then I was going to let them identify themselves. I was going to use our filter system, all the great filters that we have, and let the right people identify themselves. And I just ran with those people, and those are the ones that became my ringer.
And so you're not going to miss a moment. I mean, you look at this as a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I do
sure.
too. And you just realize that you're not going to sit back and just hope this works out. You're going to drive it and make it happen. Talk about the things that you think you do to make something happen that maybe in other opportunities you sort of let things happen, but here you've made it happen and it's made all the difference.
I would say my urgency. You know, patience with urgency. I mean, you got to be patient. It's never going to happen as quickly as you want it to, but I was urgent. I didn't operate on a month. I knew every single week I had to do a piece of business. I had to have somebody that I was training or joining my team, and I was not going to let a month slip. I wasn't going to think in a month's term, because it's easy to not do something in a week and say, well, I got 3 weeks to make it up, or now I got 2 weeks to make it up. I just would not operate on it. So I had an urgency. Every week I had to do at least one piece of business, and I'm talking about a sale because that's what paid the bills.
Right.
And I was going to close at least one piece of business every single week, no matter what. And I would not, when I say urgency, I wouldn't let that week go by that I didn't do it.
Did you have your appointments all booked before the week started, or did you wait till the week started?
You know, I tried, but you know, it's interesting. You know, people don't always keep their commitments.
Right, right.
And I just knew that when an appointment canceled, I was on the phone. So if the appointments were there and they kept them, great. But I was doing a lot of phone calling, and if I dropped by to see somebody and they weren't there, it was amazing. I had that list. I just always had a list of people to go. Yeah, I always had that. And it always was in my possession. And I was urgent. I was
just
going to.
Do you think activity really is the key to greatness?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you have enough activity, you just can't miss.
Absolutely. With the right activity.
Right.
You know, you can show up at the office.
What is the right activity?
Well, the right activity is talking to potential clients. The right activity is talking to potential recruits on your team. And sometimes people get that confused. They'll say, well, I was working because I went to the meeting. I was working because
right,
I went to training. And if that's all your spouse sees and you define that as your work, they're going to be frustrated and you're going to be frustrated because that's not going to put any money in your account. And I knew the electric company wasn't going to care if I called them up and said, look, they promised they were going to do business. I was supposed to close that sale. Can you let that... that bill be paid next week. It's
right.
not going to happen that way. So I knew that, you know, the mortgage had to be paid, the car payment had to be paid, and I was going to do my job and I was going to close business. So right activity is important.
What do you think is different about the business today versus 25, 30 years ago when we got started?
Oh, gosh. This is where we really show our age, Tom. I mean, I tell my boys, there was no internet.
Right.
No internet.
No cell phones.
No cell phone. I mean, that is just, even me, that's hard for me to believe.
You had to guess where somebody was.
Can you imagine how you know what it was like. We had to try to read a map, and I'm not real good at reading a map anyway. I guess I should have been a better Boy Scout. But you got to call the client, but we didn't have cell phones. So we'd have to pull off the side of the road, get a, hopefully there'd be
a payphone or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, we'd hope there'd be one. But yeah, it's totally different.
Then you had to guess where they were and hope you could track them down.
I got to wonder how we did it too. But yeah, today I think everything has changed. It's a game changer. I really believe people can do what took us 10, 15 years to do, Tom, with the technology, with the tools. Of course, that's not the only key.
Right.
With the high touch that you
right.
say.
Right.
You combine that, and I really do believe that somebody could do in a 2, 3, 4 year period of time what took me 10-15 years. I really believe that.
Well, I think the skill set that you had to have and develop to become successful 30 years ago and 25 years ago was you just had to be this complete, you know, it was just not easy. Every area of this business you had to be really good at to be very successful. But now, if you can say, here, watch this, amazing, you can let them watch a video and they can learn the basics of what we do or see a presentation. You could have your leader help you follow up. I mean, the ways to become successful are so limitless now because of all this technology and all the advantage of having all this stuff. I don't know how people miss.
I don't either. I mean, I would have loved to have had someone like you go with me to see everybody, but that's obviously was impossible. And it's impossible today, but I can use these tools and these videos and all of that to help me. And that alone is worth a fortune. That, how many people did we, I'll just put it on me. How many people did I just totally run off from the business because I didn't have the right words? That could have been great.
How would you describe the moment when, you know, you're in this business 10 years, we start a new company, you're part of the company. What was the moment like when you realized this was the one that was going to work out for you? When maybe the other ones didn't, this one was going to.
And I just felt it in my soul. I knew this was it. I knew this was my shot. I knew it was real. You just got to do a little research. You look at the backing of our company, the leadership. Most businesses that people go into, the odds are they're not going to be in business 3-5 years from now. Right. But truly, with what we have to offer, we've got everything stacked in our favor instead of stacked against us. I mean, think about the power of that. And I really do believe your opportunity is only as good as the product or service you provide. And we've got a product, Tom, that in my simple way of looking at it, I want to make sure when I'm talking to people that I'm talking about things that they want, need, and can afford.
Right.
And I know there's three things that everybody wants, needs, and can afford to do, and that is everybody wants to lower taxes. Everybody wants to make their money work as hard as they work to earn it. And certainly everybody wants to make their financial goals come true. They want to be financially independent. So as long as I've got products, I've got tools that can help people achieve those three things, how am I going to miss? I didn't have to come up with a lot of money. I paid $100 getting this business, a couple $100 more to get some licenses. I don't think I've got more than $1,500 invested, but I don't have any inventory.
Right. No overhead.
No boundaries.
Just your office, right?
It's just absolutely incredible. Tom, we're paying out almost $1 million a month, a lot of times over $1 million a month to the team.
In your business.
Yeah. And I don't have any kind of payroll department. I don't have accounting. How do you miss? We've got everything. The odds are stacked in our favor. The only way you don't make it here is you don't take advantage of what we have.
Well, not only do you have offices all over the United States, but you've actually expanded that into Puerto Rico. Mm. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, what was it like? Why did you decide to go there? How did you go there? And talk about meeting Julio and getting him rolling.
Yeah, the Puerto Rico story has been fun. And a lot of people think it was kind of an overnight thing. I meet this one guy named Julio Velasquez, and that was a game changer certainly for us. But what a lot of people don't know is I've been going to Puerto Rico for 10 years. And we had some good people there. We still do. But the recruiting just wasn't happening. And after 10 years, we ran into a guy named Julio Velasquez.
Right.
And the rest is history. It's just proof that when you find a leader, teams will come.
Right.
And that's what happened with Julio. And we've been very blessed there. But the way I actually got into Puerto Rico in the first place was my wife's cousin married a guy in Puerto Rico, and he said, hey, you ought to go to Puerto Rico. I know some people. And so the relationship part of our business is what got us into Puerto Rico.
I think so much of expansion is something like that. You
just
know, how many times you've been somewhere and somebody say, hey, you ought to give this guy a call, or you ought to go here or go there, and you say, yeah, and then you don't do it.
Yeah.
And then you end up not there. But if you just follow through on those things, when somebody gives you a referral or you get a tip or some idea or you get some flash that you ought to do something, you need to react to that. You need to go do it.
It's amazing how true that is and how just taking some follow-up on that. I'll give you an example, too. I've got a CEO on my team that I wouldn't have on the team today had I not just made a phone call. Someone said, call this person in El Paso, and I did, and that person pretty far away from Austin, Texas, El Paso is, and I called a guy, he was interested, and I said, well, look, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Thanksgiving time. Fort Stockton is out that way anyway, but it's still a pretty good ways from Fort Stockton to El Paso. And I left Thanksgiving dinner, which my wife wasn't real happy with. But after we ate Thanksgiving, I said, I'm going to drive to El Paso. I want to meet this person. And I can tell you that had I not gone there, that would have cost me hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because of all the leaders that have come from that one little trip. So, yeah, follow-up is so key.
You know, I have to tell you, convenience and greatness never mix.
It doesn't mix, does it?
And I can't tell you how many times in my career I've done exactly the same thing and how many people I know just simply don't. If it's an evening or a weekend or a holiday, they just turn it off.
Yep.
They turn off their computer. They turn off their phone. They're just done. And shoot, I never turn it off. And maybe there's a point you can make that you got to turn it off once in a while. But you know what? What happens is I think when you're caught in the grip of a crusade, the clock doesn't have hands anymore and the days of the week don't have names. Days that are holidays, it's a holiday. It's not a hollow week or a hollow month, right?
Absolutely.
But all of a sudden, like, you know, you get into the fall and Thanksgiving comes and people want to shut down halfway through November. Or you get into Christmas, they want to shut down the first week of December. And I just never done that. And I don't know how people do that and think they're going to be successful. You've got to drive this business. You've got to make things happen. And especially when it's inconvenient.
Totally. Well, as I said, what happened from that one trip, leaving Thanksgiving, as I said, not real popular, but Tim and Julie Mullaney that are here with us on this great trip.
Right.
That came from that phone call.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Oh, hey, and let's go further. I promise, I'm just thinking this right now. James and Sarah Schwartz, both of them, they all came from that meeting.
Wow. That's incredible.
It was a gentleman named Cal Blockberger who's passed away, but his daughter married Thomas Campbell. And Thomas Campbell, who's introduced us to Tim Mullaney.
Wow.
And isn't that amazing? And the guy that had me call, the guy in El Paso, he left. Right. I won't say his name, but he had made $1 million with us, actually.
Right.
He left. But one of the guys he left offices with you, named Steve Miller.
Sure.
And Steve Miller's the one where we found James Sarah Swart. So that's all from me leaving Thanksgiving.
I hope you all listen to this because this is gold here. I mean, this is stuff you can't get. Well, you'll figure it out, but you figure out the other way. You won't do something. You wonder why you're not where you want to be.
What if I didn't do that?
Yeah, I know.
They wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here.
So that one decision. I don't want any chapter of my book one day to be titled What If.
Yeah.
So many people let their lives be this what if thing where they just never, you know, what if you had done this or what if you had done that? If you just go do it, then you don't have to wander. And you know, they all don't work out.
Well, sure. Most don't.
You just need one to.
Oh, that's all I needed.
And one good one can take you through places you never would have dreamed of. Well, talk about that for a second. You know, once you have success, you become a seven-figure earner. What kind of success does that allow you? How does that change your lifestyle? What's it allowed you to do for yourself, your family, or your friends that you wouldn't have been able to do if you're still in Elvis?
Oh, that's just tremendous. The life we're living now is a dream life. I mean, it's a ridiculous life. It really is.
I saw your amazing car.
Yeah, yeah.
You got an SL Mercedes.
Yeah, and we didn't just buy an SL 550 Mercedes. We had it special designed, custom designed, and we went to Stuttgart, Germany to pick it up. So I took my son, who's a car nut.
I love that.
And we just jumped on a plane in this European delivery. They customized the car totally to what I want. Just totally the interior, everything. And they then, part of this European delivery, you pick up your car, you tour the museum, a beautiful museum in Stuttgart for Mercedes. And we then spent 5 days driving through the Black Forest, me and my son. It's a memory that we're never going to forget. That's just one example.
That's what this is all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
It's not just buying a nice car.
Yeah, right. Doing things you never would have been able to do.
When we were getting the car, when we were ordering it, the car salesman said, well, what is it you do? I mean, is this going to be your everyday car? Or he thought it was going to be just my weekend car. I said, no, it's going to be my everyday car. And he said, you want to do the European delivery? You understand you're going to be gone about 4 or 5 days and you got to travel there? And I said, yeah. He said, well, what do you do? Because he said most people that can afford these cars, they can't afford to take off that much time. Cost them too much money.
Love that.
So he was amazed that I was able to explain my business model. I said, well, I'm not like those people. I'm going to make plenty of money while I'm gone, picking up my car and driving through the Black Forest. And it was quite an interesting conversation.
Well, the things you get to do with success, you know, sometimes it's a tangible thing, but sometimes it's intangible. Here we are sitting in the lobby here. Some of you may hear the clinks in the background. We're literally sitting in the lobby of the Four Seasons Hotel in here in Sydney, Australia. And to think that staying in a Four Seasons is not a once-in-a-lifetime thing for us. It's kind of how we roll. We like to stay in the Four Seasons. We stayed in the Four Seasons all over the world. And to go to world-class places, to live like that, to do those things, that makes it all worthwhile. That made that Thanksgiving phone call you made and that trip you took, it made it all worthwhile because look at what you get to do now.
Yep.
Who wouldn't want to do this?
Tom, our lives are it's almost embarrassing. You can't even describe it to your friends because they're not going to be able to relate. The only ones we can share this with are people like ourselves in the company.
The window in our suite upstairs overlooks the Sydney Opera Center, one of the most famous architectural structures in the world, and the bridge that people get to climb. One of the great bucket list things for many people is to come to Sydney, Australia, and be able to climb up to the top of that bridge 500 feet in the air. I didn't do that.
No.
Did you do that?
No way.
Furthest I'm going to fall is out of this chair hitting the floor.
We have our own island. We're in Fiji, and we have our own Odyssey Island that took over. It was just us,
that's
200
incredible.
People.
What an experience.
And those are the kind of things, the Hofburg Palace, going by horse-drawn carriage and doing the Vienna Waltz and palaces.
That's why you want to build this. That's why you want to make your first prospect list. And make those calls and visits and send out the emails and texts and all the things to give you a chance to do this, because it's the activity and the attitude and then a bunch of hard work all combined together that helps you get to a place like this.
And it's certainly worth it. I mean, the company, you were there with us, Tom, too. We've never missed a Hawaii. There's maybe a handful of us left that have been on every Hawaii
every trip.
Every super trip. And you and I have done that, and there's maybe five or six more that have done that. Not that we don't have some that would have, but they just weren't a part of the company then. But you and I were there at the beginning, so we've seen how dreams come true, not only for ourselves, but for so many people, and it's only going to get better.
Talk about the next generation for a minute. You know, my daughter Lauren's doing this now, and you've got your son
licensed. Yeah.
What do you see over the next 5 to 10 years? Where can we take this? Well, look, I don't mean the stock market. I mean the business itself.
We penetrated less than 1% of the market.
Right.
I mean, so that means there's so much room for growth, and even if we were going to work this as hard as we've done the last 20, 30 years, there's no way we're ever going to increase that market share without this new generation, the millennials. And so my son, to give an idea of just how powerful this is, he was 20 years old at a senior associate level, and doing this part-time as a full-time college student, he made just under $33,000.
Wow.
And so this is, I think the millennials, the studies that I've read, they're more entrepreneurial than our generation.
They're bigger. There's more people,
right?
And they're more entrepreneurial. And they're more dissatisfied quicker with the corporate world and the weight of having to hang around for a decade or two to become successful. They want it now.
Yeah.
I love that.
I just think that the best years, as good as it's been, we have not even scratched the surface. So this is a wide open door for anybody in their 20s, 30s. What an opportunity.
I read the other day that the number one dream of entrepreneurs, if they have children, is that one day they could have a successful enough business that their kids will want to do what they do. That it looks like it's fun enough. It looks like there's enough money in it. It looks like something that would be challenging to them. And this really has all those components kind
as
of rolling into one.
As it all.
And, of course, you're such a great example. Who wouldn't want to be you? You know, who wouldn't be like you? And to be able to work with you, you know, I know that for a lot of parents, the stress between them and their children is over having to say no all the time because they don't have any money. And I think when you have success, not that you ought to go spoil your kids, but I think the things that you can do with your kids when you're saying yes – put you in a different place with them, and it makes your family tree look different.
It does. And what parent wouldn't want to be able to say yes more than no?
Yes.
And I grew up hearing that word no. And
me too.
And
Not
all the time, but, you know, finances dictated where our family went on vacation. And And I never stayed. A place like this, my parents never stayed in a place like this until I took them on a trip like this.
Right, right.
We took a camper or tents wherever we went, and there was no eating in restaurants. It was sandwiches that were pre-made, you know?
I think what's interesting is on our Hawaii trips every year, the people that go for the first time, most of them bring their parents, and most of their parents had never been to Hawaii before.
That's so true.
So they spent their whole life raising their kids and raising their family and being so, you know, attentive to all the things it takes to become, to make it through things. And all of a sudden, you know, their kid finds an opportunity as big as their dreams, and they go and build it. And I think one of the reasons kids do it is to do things like that.
Yep.
So it's been a lot of fun. I know we got to do the same thing. Well, hey, I so appreciate you being here with us, Darren. You know, it's so great for us to have a chance to not only be in business together, but to affect the next generation and really to affect the future of what I think is the best business in the whole world and the biggest industry in the whole world. The people out there don't have any idea how much people really need to know how money works.
Yeah.
They want to know how money works, and they don't. And they're never going to figure it out on their own. It's going to take one of us.
Yep.
Sit down with one of them. And so we just need to build a bigger team. We need to have more outlets. We need to make this thing really go. And I think with us having our kids working with us and with leaders with great vision and experience like you have, somebody who appreciates what it's like to have to go work as a waiter or work as an Elvis impersonator. And you also have an idea of what it takes to build a business to spit out $1 million a year in income to you. That's incredible. So congratulations on your success. It's great to be in business with you. It's great to be friends.
Great to be in business with you,
friends.
Tom.
And I can't tell you how much I look forward to all the years we're going to spend together and all the lives we're going to change.
Yep. I'm with you all the way. I love what we're doing, and I love how we're impacting people. And I want to go on some more trips like this with you.
We're going to do that.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast. Or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.